entire passages of Scripture and see what does Scripture say about topics that would be expository preaching. Then we also spent another week on who God is. We talked about the different attributes of God and how important it is for us to understand that God is not summed up with any single one attribute, but that all of those attributes must work together. And when they do, He is holy and magnificent.
Amen.
Then we talked about the gospel and how important it is for us to understand, in order to be a healthy church, we have to understand what the gospel is. And the gospel is not, oh, I'm okay, and it's not God is love. But it is every much. I'm a sinful man before God, and God's wrath abides upon me, and He will pour His wrath out upon my sin. And yet, God sent Jesus to take my sin upon the cross, and Jesus bore my sin. And instead of God pouring His wrath upon me, He poured it upon Jesus, and now all I have to do is put my trust in Him. That is the gospel.
Amen.
We understand the gospel as a church. Then we followed that the next week with a biblical understanding of conversion. What happens when I put my trust in Christ? Conversion. What is going on? Yes, I put my trust in Him, but what's been happening? And we found out from Ephesians chapter 2 that I was dead in my sins and my trespasses. It was not me reaching up to God, but it was God coming along to a dead man and making me alive.
Amen.
Praise God for conversion. Then last week, evangelism. Now that I'm a believer, what do we do with that? It's evangelism. We have this good news that we hold. What do we do with it? And that's us telling other people, spreading the good news. This week, I want to spend our time together today on a biblical understanding of church membership. A biblical understanding of church membership. The idea here is, what do we do now that we are gathered together as believers? What does that look like? If I'm now a believer and you're a believer and we've been evangelizing, telling others about Christ, what does it look like as we come together as a church? That's what I want to show us today from Scripture. I need you to just think with me. Paint a little picture. Let your mind wander for just a second. Can you imagine with me a scene of a shepherd with his sheep and they're out in a beautiful field? You can just imagine that. It's a beautiful field, and there's a bunch of sheep out there. Some are lying down, some are standing up, they're eating. Some are over drinking from the water. And the shepherd is lying under the shade tree, and he's playing the harp. It's a beautiful scene, right? The evening comes, the shepherd gets up, he begins to walk towards the home, and the sheep follow him. He gets to the fold, and he's putting the sheep in the fold because he's going to protect them for the night. And as the sheep are going in, he's counting them. This is what he's supposed to do. He's counting the sheep, and in they go, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. Hang on a second. Something's not right. So he gets all the sheep back out. Hang on. All you sheep, get out of here. I'm going to count you again. Count them again. 1, 2, 3, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. Now, you think with me for just a second. What does that shepherd need to do in that moment? Lock those sheep up, go get his coat, and go find that lost sheep, right? That's what he's supposed to do. But what happens if, in that moment, if he goes, hang on a second, I don't know for sure that I had 100. In fact, I might only have 99 sheep. I thought maybe yesterday I had 98. Maybe one of them had a baby. I don't know. Maybe I don't have 100. Now, would we consider him at that point, if he goes, no, I only had 99. I just decided today I only had 99 sheep. Is he going to leave? If there's 100th one and it's out there somewhere and he just leaves it, is he a good shepherd? Terrible! We would say, no, he's not a shepherd, and no, he's not doing his job. All he really is doing is taking an inventory at night and providing entertainment during the day. And guys, I got to be honest, sometimes we treat church the same way. This is why membership is so very important. Because if we don't have membership, we don't know who's a part of the body. If we don't know who's a part of the body, who do we know who to go and look for? When the 100th sheep is stray, we don't even know to go and get them. What if that shepherd said, well, you know, I just really feel bad about saying that 100th sheep is a part of our fold. Maybe it wants to be a part of somebody else's fold. And so I'll just let them do that. And there goes another 2, and here comes another 5, and today we have 107, and the next day we have 93. You can't do that. And you know that the Bible talks about the church. A picture that the Bible uses is a shepherd for the flock. Now, Jesus is the chief shepherd. The scripture uses the term of an under-shepherd for a pastor. It's my responsibility, as I report to God, my responsibility to make sure that I'm looking after the flock of God. And the verse that comes to mind, feed the flock of God, is an instruction that comes to pastors. There's a number of illustrations and examples that scripture uses to talk about the church and membership and being a part of the church. And I'm going to give us two of those today. I really want to spend a lot of time in that. And two of them. But before we get to that, let me give you a couple of ideas. You realize that sometimes we treat church more like the supermarket. That's how we normally treat it. We think of church more like the supermarket. How many of you went to the supermarket in the last 2 weeks? You've been to go and get groceries. Let me see. How many of you went to the supermarket, went to go get groceries? If you did not go to the supermarket, let me see your hand. You did not go and get groceries from anywhere. Okay, let's try again. How many people went to the supermarket and got groceries this week? All right, there we go. That's the majority of us. I guarantee we all did not go to the same one. Guarantee. Now, some of you went to some grocery store or supermarket for a different reason than I went. I went because of convenience of location. Maybe it was an easier place for me to get in and out. Or maybe you went because they had a better selection of the type of food you like. And maybe for another one, it's because of a price. You go overseas and you go to some of those supermarkets, and they have all sorts of things. They're doing giveaways, free stuff. You walk down the aisle, you don't even have to pay for it. They're going to give you freebies. You just get to eat as you walk through the supermarket. Another thing they'll do is they'll put out a trolley that's made into the shape of a car, and your child can sit in the front and steer it like it's a car. Like, people go, I want to go to that supermarket because it has stuff for my kids. Now, they'll deliver the groceries to your house. Yeah. We talk about it enough. And you realize we do the same thing with church. My goodness, we do the same. Well, I'll go to that church because it's convenient, it's close to my house. Or I'll go to that one because, man, they're really nice. They've got great music. Or they've got a great program for my kids. And we go to different churches for different reasons. And guys, we treat it like it's a consumer thing. I'm a customer and I'm going to go to that church and they're going to offer to me. Can I help us to change our mindset? We're not customers. We're owners. We call it my church for a reason. This is my church. I don't come here to see what I can get from the church. I come as a part owner of the church. And I'm going to give.
Amen.
I'm going to come and I'm going to take care of the other part owners. I want us to be working together. Did you know what Ephesians 4 says? Ephesians 4 says that God gives pastors to the church to equip the saints to do the work. Many times we think, well, it's the pastor's job to do the work. No. The Bible says it's the church member's job to do the work. It's the pastor's job to equip you, prepare you to do the work. Oh, boy, I think we've been looking at church kind of backwards. This is not the way that Scripture talks about church. You realize that church is not the building. Church is not the building. Church is the body. We are the church. You and I, we are the church. It's not the building. Oh, please. We need to start thinking about church in a different way. I'm going to go ahead and make a statement now, in case you're wondering. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, thou shalt be a church member. Nowhere. You won't find a verse that says, thou shalt be a church member. And I think there's a reason for that. Because if we had a verse that said, thou shalt be a church member, I think a lot of us would just come along to it. Okay, I joined that church, tick, got that box out of the way. But instead of it saying, thou shalt be a church member, here's what happens. All throughout the New Testament, it just assumes that you are. It assumes that you are a part of the body. And it uses different pictures over and over and over. We're going to see two of them today. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll see that picture first. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me give you an idea while you're turning. So from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, it gives us two words in the midst of that verse that I think are important for us to hear. Let me read the verse for you. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us consider one another and provoke love and good works. That phrase, one another, those two words, they're put together. And I hope that we can help shape the way we think as we look at one another. Please don't think of the church in terms of a pastor and church members. Instead, we should be looking after one another. That phrase, one another, is used in the epistles. That would be the books of the Bible that were written to the churches. In the epistles, those two words, one another, show up 31 times. That's significant. We said this before, in studying the Bible, if Scripture uses the same thing twice, you better be paying attention because he's saying something. He says it 31 times, one another, and he uses it in all types of different ways. Exhort one another. Forgive one another. Encourage one another. Here's one big one. Love one another. Love one another is used 9 times in the New Testament. Jesus adds on another 4, and Jesus himself said, love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, by your love one for another. So these words are very important, one another, for the body. Let me read you Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25. They go together. 24. Let us consider one another to provoke to love and good works. Now verse 25. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. So much the more as you see the day approaching. Do not, that's a command. Do not forsake the assembling together. Come together, church, come together. Amen. And while you're coming together, exhort one another. Tell each other, let's do right. That's a big part of being a church member. Let's see the first example. The first example is a temple. You see it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you remember the book of 1 Corinthians, let's give you a quick background. Paul started the church. He was there for 18 months. He left. He was in another location and he wrote back to the church. They had a lot of problems at Corinth. And when we come to 1 Corinthians 3, he's already established what the major problem was. You might remember it. It came out something like this. The church was divided. Some said, I'm of Paul. Others said, I'm of Cephas. I'm of Apollos. So he's addressing that issue. Look at verse 6 with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. I have planted, using a picture of planting a garden or planting a tree or planting a seed. I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gives the increase. We'll keep going, verse number 4. But while one has said, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? Sorry, I just completely lost my place. Verse 7, thank you. So then, let's look at verse 6. I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watered, but God that giveth the increase. Now let's read verse 8 and 9. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are his building. So he's given two pictures here. One is a picture of planting a garden. Another picture is building a house. We'll see the house in just a second. He says, I planted, Apollos watered, God's the one that grows it. Now he's going to switch and go to a building, construction site. You are God's building. Now, let me just help you with some old English. If you've got a King James Bible there, you see that word ye. In the old English, that ye is plural. This is not a singular you person, this is ye, plural. The body. This is the church. Now, verse number 10. Ye are God's building. According to the grace which God has given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, that is Christ Jesus. So here he says, I came into Corinth and I built a foundation, and that foundation was Jesus Christ. And everything else for the church that's built on that will be built on top of Jesus Christ. So as we think in terms of a church being built, we build the foundation of Christ and the church is built upon it. Remember, the church is not the building, it is the people. The building is just a metaphor. It's just a picture, an example. We'll keep reading verse number 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold or silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So we see in this, you have the foundation for the church, that's Jesus, and then every man builds upon it. Remember what I said? As members of the church, we're all working together, and we're all building the body. We're building the church together. And he says there are some that can build with good, precious materials, and there are some that will build with rubbish materials. And guys, if you build a building with rubbish materials and a trial comes along, winds or fire, it's done. But if you build with good quality materials, it will withstand the trials. We build on Jesus Christ, and the rest of us build up the church. Not the building, but the body. It says, there will be trials that will come along, and if you build onto it with good quality material, it's going to build. Right? It will last. Now look at verse 14. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. God's paying attention. Verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, and so is by fire. Now verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. Guys, hang with me here for just a second, because many times people will take that verse and say, that is you as an individual are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians 6:19, yes, that one is you as an individual. This one, the context is, this is the church. Ye are the temple of God. Think back to the Old Testament, my goodness. 1,500 years, the people of Israel worshipped at the temple. And then Jesus came along and did away with that. So we're going to not just ask questions of the priests. We're not just going to run the people out that are making the temple into a den of thieves. He's going to hang on the cross and split the veil in two. Got rid of the temple. And then replace it with the church, the body. Here we are, the replacement. We are the temple. And so here he says, we built the temple, verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. But the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. He's not saying if you come along and put graffiti on the side of the church buildings. That's not what he said. If you defile the temple, you destroy the body of Christ. How do you do that within the context of 1 Corinthians? Cause divisions. You start infighting, backbiting, talking bad about each other. You're destroying the temple. It's our responsibility as the temple of God to be building that up. You might say, well, if that's the temple, are there other pictures? Oh, yeah. Do you ever wonder about the sacrifices of the temple? The sacrifices? Well, what are the sacrifices now? Well, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. What's the sacrifices of this New Testament temple? I am. You are. We are the sacrifices for God. And you go, well, who are the priests? Oh, that's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. It makes this statement. You, as lively stones, are built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. We are the priests within the temple, and we are offering ourselves as sacrifices to God. What a beautiful picture. And then further picture in it, in that same verse, 1 Peter 2, verse 5, you are lively stones. It's like as if the temple of God is made up of us as lively stones, one upon another, building up to make the temple of God. What an awesome picture. Now you think with me for just a second. You take a stone out of the wall of the temple. What is it now? It's just a rock. Set that off to the side. It's no longer a part of the temple. It's just a rock sitting on the side. You see, it receives its significance as being a part of the temple. It's the picture that God's given us in the New Testament. Assuming that we'll be a part of the body. We've seen that the church is a picture of the church is the temple. Look over at 1 Corinthians 12 and you'll see the other one. And that is the body. We took our scripture reading from 1 Corinthians 12. We'll walk through this passage as well. Still the same context of Paul writing to the church. He's talking to them about how they're divided. Some within the church think that they're being overlooked, and perhaps others within the church have their own private agendas. Guys, we are a body, and we should be working together as a body. I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but when you go to the doctor, when you're sick, when you go to the doctor, one of the first things that the doctor does is he takes your temperature, right? A temperature tells him something. How high your fever is going to tell him something. You don't have a fever, that's going to tell him something. And so if I could just talk to us practically speaking for just a moment, if I were to take a temperature of our body, Capital City Baptist Church, we're about 4 years old now. Praise God, look what God's done in 4 years, right? Praise God. If I can just give us a spiritual temperature, as it were, we have, on an average Sunday, between 170 and 190 people that come every Sunday. Sometimes we go as high as 250, and it kind of comes back every time. And I can look around and I can tell why. We need a bigger building, I know that. But as I look through the number of people that come through our body, and the people that come and they stick around for a few weeks or stick around for a few months and then they move on, I can tell you there's one thing that we're really lacking. It's one another. We're lacking one another. Sometimes we think in terms of it's the pastor's job to provide care for the body, but actually it's the body's job to care for the body. And guys, just practically speaking, there is absolutely no way I can keep track of every single person that comes through here. How many of you remember when we first started the church, we would say this, if you come to church, we'd give you a Bible. How many people remember back then? It was the first couple of years we did that. We'd give out a free Bible. If you come, we'd give you a free Bible. Do you realize we gave out 2,000 free Bibles when we first started? Gone. That means that we've had 2,000 visitors in the first 2 years come through our church. That's phenomenal. But then let's take that a step further and look at the number of people that have gone through our membership class. And by the way, if you've signed up for new members, I'm excited about that. We're starting the new members class next Sunday. We're going 3 Sundays in a row during life groups. That's going to be in room 203 upstairs. New members class. If you've not signed up and you need to, make sure you sign up today. Next Sunday, we're starting life groups for new members, classroom 203. But as I look back over the last several years, the number of people that have come through our new members class, signed the church covenant and said, yes, I want to covenant together and be a part of this body. I look back through the numbers this week, it's more than 40% of the people that have been members that are now gone. That's scary. You know what that tells me? There's not enough one another. We see people that are gone and we think, oh man, where'd they go? It's important for us to realize a body has to be very sick for it not to miss a body part. The body needs to realize it when parts fall off. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 and see what the apostle says about this. Look at 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many, what? Has many members. All the members of that one body being many are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Oh, praise God. What he just said, it doesn't matter whether you're Highlander or you're Papuan. It doesn't matter whether you're Papua New Guinea citizen or you're an expat. It doesn't matter where you fit within the geopolitical atmosphere. We are all, as believers, one body. Amen. Praise God for that. Now, what's the body? What should the body be looking like? Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Guys, the pastor is not the body. Just one part of the body. There are many parts of the body. Let's read verse number 15 now. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? That's almost a silly question. It's like, can the foot even talk? It can't, right? But if the foot were to say, well, I'm not the hand, I don't get to be a part of the body, they're just dragging me around. Is it true? No, it's not true. The foot cannot say, I'm not a part of the body. Whether it likes it or not, the foot is a part of the body. Can you imagine with me if you got out of the car? In a hurry, you get out of the car, you go to close the car door, and when you slam the car door, oh no, your finger's stuck inside. Now, in that moment, there's several things that happen, right? Your finger is still stuck in the door. Now, immediately, your whole body stops what it's doing. It does not matter if you were singing a really good song and it has been an ear leech for you for the last hour, you forgot it. Everything comes to that finger. And right now, your eyes become a part of it. Your brain becomes a part of it. All of your body parts become a part of what's going on with your finger. Your finger is in the door. Your eyes see it. Sends a message up to the brain. The brain, hurry. This one at the same time. It sends a message up to the brain. Something wrong. Help me, help me. Now, all of a sudden, your feet were headed that way. Now, they're going to come back this way. And your hand. Your brain does not even have to tell your hand this is how you open a door. It already knows. Just slam right down to the door handle and open the door handle and this finger's going to come out. Your mouth suddenly is a part of this. Ah! The other hand grabs this one, puts it to your mouth. How many of you do this? You're not even babies anymore and you put it to your mouth immediately. I don't even know what that does, but it makes me feel good in that moment, right? How silly would it be if that finger got slammed in the door and your eyes went, man, bummer. That's going to be bad. Have a good life. And you tried to walk away. That would be horrible. Can the foot say, well, I'm not the hand, so sorry about your luck, pal. No. Verse 16. If the ear shall say, I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Could you just imagine this giant eye? We'd have to move him from one place to the next. Just a terrible way to have a life, right? And that poor eye would have no idea what's going on. He could just see stuff. That's all. Terrible way. Every part of the body has a purpose. Within our body as a church, guys, some of us have parts that are public speaking. Others of us have parts that are singing. And boy, even within the choir, praise God for you. Even within the choir, there is a bass part and a tenor part. And there's a soprano part. And there's all those other parts that I don't know the names of. And there's beautiful harmony that comes because the body is working together. Guys, did you know that within our body, we have only experienced in just a little over 4 years, we have only experienced one time in all of our time together where we had one person come forward to the pastoral staff and say, I would like to clean the bathrooms. Only one time. And that lady is right now lying in Port Moresby General Hospital dying of cancer. That's a terrible thing. Guys, there are lots of things that can be done for the body. This morning I see as people stand outside turning sausages and line up and have bread cut and make sure that everything is moving smoothly. That's a beautiful part of the body serving one another. And then even now as we're here, they're out there cleaning up and making sure that when we go out, we don't have to go and clean up. So thankful for that. Can you imagine if Pastor had to do all of that? Y'all would have waited in the long queue. Guys, we need to make sure that we're fulfilling our roles and say, I don't know what my role is. Come and ask. We can find one. Some of you have got beautiful green thumbs. And by that, I mean you could plant plants and do wonderful things. And then we could always use more plants. And some of you have got a great heart of compassion for other people. And you can just sit and listen to somebody. And guys, there are a lot of hurting people within our life. There are people who have been through domestic abuse. There are people who have fought, and I will not name names, obviously, but there are some people who have fought things like HIV and AIDS within our congregation. There are people who have gone through all sorts of abuse from parents and from spouses. And there are people who have spent time in and out of the hospital and continue to be in and out of the hospital. And it would be two of us as a body to just sit and listen to each other. Maybe you have no way to be able to help them, but your listening ear will be a blessing to them. We have an awesome opportunity to flood Port Moresby General Hospital with chaplains. Right now, from our body, we have 3 people from our body that every week spend a whole day at the hospital as chaplains. And perhaps you've got free time and you say, man, I could do that as well. What an awesome opportunity, a way for us to serve our community as a body. And you know what? The door is wide open. They've said as many of us as we want to send, we can have it. They'll even give us a little pass. We go in 24/7. Some of you go, wow, this is my opportunity to go in 24/7. No. There's plenty of opportunities as a body to serve one another. Let's keep going in this passage. Verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. That is so very important, grace. God has put these members of the body into the body, I might say for our sanctification, because some of us are just plain cranky. You meet them at church, all they ever do is scowl. They're there for your sanctification. Don't be angry that God gave that part of the body. Your body ever get a hangnail? Your body ever have a broken toe? It's there for your sanctification. It's there to help you. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where's the body? Now they are many members, yet one body. Now let's look at verses 21 to 24. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. No, I need the hand. The eye cannot say that. Nor again can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. See, the people that seem to not be doing anything and they're just pulling off of the church, they are, God's words, necessary. They are supposed to be in the body. They help us.
Amen.
So everybody was a pastor, boy, we'd be a world of hurt. Verse 23, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. God hath temper, he put the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part that lacks. God's given us all sorts of different parts, and some are more beautiful than others. And right now you might be thinking, I've never seen my large intestine, but I promise you, you cut it out, you're going to miss it. Every part of the body is needed. So it's our responsibility to take care of the whole body. That little toe, take care of it. Make sure that you take care of every part of the body. Verse 25, that there be no schism, breaking apart of the body. There should be no breaking apart. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you're the body of Christ. Verse 28, we are the body of Christ and we are members in particular. Collectively, we are the body of Christ. It's very important for us to be able to identify who is the members. Because guys, let's just be honest, there are some people who are just transient. They just want to see what's going on around here. They come for 2-3 weeks. After that, they're gone. And I'll call them. I will. Sometimes I'll call them. Hey, how you doing? Just missed you last week. And they say, oh, well, we were just visiting. We went on to such and such another church. Guys, I can tell you, it's a very dangerous thing. Very dangerous thing. Because with that comes a complete lack of accountability. I come to this church. I'm here for 3 weeks. I move on to the next church. I'm there for 3 weeks. I go on to the next church. I'm not one anothering at all. I'm just coming as a consumer. I'm going to enjoy what I can for myself or for my children or whatever it is that I like. Guys, find a church. If this isn't the right one for you, find one. Become a part. Lock in. Be a member. Love one another and care for one another. This is also very important for us to understand. Biblical understanding of church membership. We've seen the temple. We've seen the body. There's many others. We've seen the flock. He calls us a bride of Christ. What a beautiful, beautiful picture, and with importance that we should be pure. Clean. Gives a picture in the book of Revelation of us being a lampstand, shining out a light to a dark world. What beautiful pictures that Scripture gives us as the body. I'll close with an illustration of the body, because we've been talking about the body. The human body is just fantastic. You could spend a whole lifetime studying the human body. There's so many amazing facts. I don't know if you knew this, but you're constantly producing saliva. Some of us produced a whole lot of it during the sausage sizzle. The average human person will produce, in a lifetime, will produce 25,000 liters of saliva in their lifetime. That's enough to fill a swimming pool. It's a lot of spit. That's amazing things. I don't know if you knew this, but your pinky, just the little finger there, it produces 50% of the strength of your hand. That's amazing. David said it like this, Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I don't know if you ever thought about the parts of the body. They're beautiful and they're amazing and they work great together. But if you take any single part of the body and remove it from the body and lay it on the side, it's no longer beautiful and it no longer does anything. It's just a part. It doesn't do anything on its own. I don't know if you've ever seen a body part removed from the body. I've seen a hand by itself one time and I'll never forget it for the rest of my life. A lady that was in our church in Cotabanga, wonderful lady, older lady, sweet lady, had evidence of salvation in her life, she's very faithful, and one day she was accused of witchcraft. Somebody tried to kill her, they swung a grass knife at her, she ducked down and put her hand up and cut her hand off. It's by God's grace that they didn't continue to try to kill her. I got word and I was there within about 10 minutes. And when I arrived in a little truck, we were going to pick her up and escort her and get her out to a hospital. When I arrived, I found her. She was sitting on the ground with her arm up in the air. She's holding her stump of an arm. There were three places. I'll never forget this. There were three places on the ground where she had sat, and there was blood just pooled in those three places. We lifted her up and put her in the back of the truck. She fainted as we put her in the back of the truck. Bleeding so bad. And there on the ground was her hand. And I'll never forget that. That morning, that hand worked perfectly fine. Probably roasted cow in the fire. And after that moment, useless. Do you realize that God made us the same way within the body? We call them parts of the body because they're not the body. They're just parts. And as a church, we are parts of the body. We're members of the body. We fulfill our God-called potential by serving one another. How can we be a healthy church? Have a healthy understanding, biblical understanding, church membership. Father, thank you for your goodness towards us. Thank you for your word. Pray that you would work in our hearts and draw us to serve one another. And then, Lord, as things happen and we're drawn away, Lord, I pray that you would draw us back in. And then as one or another might fall off and just go off to the side, God, I pray that we as a body would go after them. That we would say, hey, what's wrong, and bring them back in. And instead of just letting them go, I pray that we would care for the body. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the grace that you've given us in salvation. May we be God-honoring in this aspect also. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Have a great week.